Yes.
Today is a very exciting day because we get to start Hilchos Tarugos. So the Shulchan Aruch starts him in Sadiches by telling us Isser Shin is Arid Beheter Min B'She'eno Mino. That if you have a mixture of trade with kosher, you go on Chelev Shin is Arid B'Basar. Like for you. Wouldn't be chalav. Chalav is kosher. That's a problem because of chalav basar chalav. This is chalav and basar, and the shach points out here that this shows that chalav and basar are two different types of things. And the shach, as we'll see in the base, can taste different. So iser shesar v'heter min b'she'eino mino, two different types, one species and a different species. So chalav shesar basar yitamenu guy, you should have a guy taste it. If he says that it doesn't taste like chalev, right, or whatever, some lard falls in your vegetable soup, if he says it doesn't taste like lard, where this whole part about pogum is really thrown in here for the sake of completion, but we're not going to analyze it until we get to its own simen in simen kosh gimel, or he says there is a time of treif in your kosher, but it gives it a bad taste, and it's not going to get turned into a good taste with processing, then you could believe the guy. Okay. And he has to not know that you're relying on him. We'll come back to that line in a minute. First of all, I want to give background. This machlokas is really Paskin and Sif based, but the principle at stake here, according to the... the principle at stake here is a din called tam ke'ikr. What does tam ke'ikr mean? Tam ke'ikr means that if something tastes like treif, then it is treif. There's a big machlokes rishonim exactly what that means. I think we mentioned earlier between Rabbeinu Tam and some of the other rishonim. Does that mean, let's say in the end, my vegetable soup does taste like lard? Does that mean just that the lard inside it is treif, or that the vegetable soup also turns treif? Right? Meaning, do I get malchus for eating a kazayis of lard in the vegetable soup, or do I get malchus for eating a kazayis of vegetable soup? So there we saw the main that many rishonim held that tam ke'ikr just means the treif inside it is still treif. Right? That if lard falls in my vegetable soup and I eat the vegetable soup, then I'm chayef for eating the lard inside. But I don't get malchus if I eat because I have lard. Rabbeinu Tam had a shita that no, it turns the whole vegetable soup treif. Now the vegetable soup is intrinsically treif, and if I eat it because I eat some vegetable soup, I get malchus. We pointed out at the time that this seems to be the machlokes about chanan b'shari surin midoraisa. Right, Rabbeinu Tam held that Tam Ke'ikr, again, I'm assuming it's in Doraisa, right? Tam Ke'ikr, what does that mean? Okay, let me back. If you say that this is a Din Doraisa, then there are two ways to understand this in Doraisa. We're not going to look for all the sheets that we've shown him, but Rabbeinu Tam says that it turns the whole Tarovis treif, that's called Loke al Kizayas of the Tarovis, right? And the Rambam and the Raven and many other Rishonim held that, the Rambam's Shita is tricky. I would certainly admit. But other Rishonim held, not all, but many other Rishonim held that no, the treif inside the Tarovis is still treif. Oh, what's the chiddush? Of course, treif is still treif. Why should the chilev that melts into your basar not be treif? Or why should the lard in your vegetable soup not be treif? Because you might have had a hafmina. Because?
It's not there.
Why is it not there? Just give me two words. Okay.
That's what it means.
Okay, fair enough. The treif inside the Tarovis is still treif. What's the havmina? The havmina is either that
if it's just paste and it's not a real piece, why should it be treif? Or even if a real piece may be melted in, it's batel beruv. We'll come back to that in a moment. And therefore, al-kizayis meha iser. You only get malchus if you eat enough that you eat a kizayis of iser, which might require that the iser melts inside. Okay, the Balmor holds you can eat kizayis of tam. We're not getting into that now. Very, very complicated. We're not going to get into that fully now. Anyway, the reason I remind us of this machlokas is it doesn't really have anything to do. It's mentioned once briefly in the Shach Sifkat and Vav. The Shach has a line here who says, Nepach Heter Ligos Kulo Iser for Usher Kulo Midaraisa, which sounds like Ravina Tan. The Ach going to point out that line is not really relevant to the main point of the Shach Sifkat and Vav. It's just like a quote he happened to quote. This machlokas seems to be, al pi pshat, the machlokas about Chanan bishari surin. Rabbeinu Tam should say, and he does say in Rabbeinu Kiva Eirishdiya, that Chanan bishari surin midoraisa. And that would make sense. If Rabbeinu Tam holds that Tam keker doraisa means the whole thing turns treif, that's exactly Chanan, the whole thing turns treif. Other Rishonim would either hold either there's no Chanan Bishari Surim, which is the Mechaber, or there is Chanan Bishari Surim, but only Midrabanan, which is the Shach and the mainstream Ashkenazic Poskim. So the simple pshat is not Mochach. Well, the simple pshat is that we don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam, that it all turns, that Tam Kirk means it all turns treif, because we don't say Chanan B'Sharei Surim D'Oraisa, Sfarim don't say it at all, Ashkenazim say it, but only Midrabanan, mainstream. Maybe what Tam Kirk just means that Midoraisa, the Isser inside is still Usser.
Yeah, I understood the focus of Chanan, just in general, as a just out, an outcome of really another Machlokas, which is Ashar L'Softo, or not. So, if
you're the latter or not, so I thought you explain the difference. Why should that make you? How does that fit in here with Shari Surim and Anan? You're right. I will explain briefly that what meant, what if you could, right? Separate the heter from the isser. Would the heter still be usser or not? So I want to say that it could very well be, and this is what a lot of the Maimonides firm assume, that that machlokas itself is a function of the machlokas between Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishonim and how to interpret Tam Ke'ikr. If Tam Ke'ikr means the whole thing turns treif, then once the whole thing turns treif, it's all treif, right? Nothing you can do about it, right? Even if it's actual sopto, it's still treif. Etc. If Tam Ke'ikr doesn't mean the whole thing is treif, it just means the treif part is treif, the kosher part is kosher, then the treif part is treif, but if you can separate out the kosher part from the treif part, then it would become kosher again. So I'm just taking one level deeper than you are, than you just mentioned. Okay.
Excuse me. This thing, some of the sheep will also that they're shot in the because of Mishra.
Yes. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, if you mix kosher and treif and eat a kezias of them, obviously, when I say mix kosher and treif, I don't mean peanuts and raisins. Peanuts and raisins, no Tam Ke'ikr. The peanuts don't taste like raisins, the raisins don't taste like peanuts. You could separate them. I mean mix kosher and treif, like you drip lard into your soup, or you put a piece of ham in your cholent and then take it out, but meanwhile the juice of the ham has gone into your cholent. Let's call it Tam, plate does Tam. Then Rabbeinu Tam says that the whole cholent is treif.
He learns that that's the
yes, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
So that's what we said, according
to Rabbeinu Tam, Chanan B'Sharei Surim is D'Oraisa? Well, Rabbi Kiva Eger was Medayik back in Sadi Be'ez that Rabbeinu Tam held Chanan B'Sharei Surim is D'Oraisa. And if so, it would work out very well. Right? There's a diuk of Rabbeinu Tam, Lefi Rabbi Kiva Eger, Ham deals with diaper. Ham himself never explicitly said whether Ham sure so it was Doraisa or Abomin. Maybe keep Eger on the bottom of Simon Sadi Beis had indeed that it was Doraisa, in which case it would just tie in to Tom Kicker. Okay, this is a big discussion, but enough said for now. There's another opinion, by the way, that Tom Kicker is only a Din Darabanan, meaning Mida Oraisa. There's no problem. Mida Oraisa, if a piece of ham falls into my chulent, and all the ham juice and all the taste of the ham goes into my chulent, and then I take, obviously I can't eat the ham, but I take the ham out and throw it in the garbage, my chulent is kosher, Mida Oraisa. So Rashi has two opinions about that. Either he says both of those sources are used for something else, or he says there are basically two main sources in the Gemara for Tam Ke'ikra, at least in Hulin. One is Mishras. It says by Nazir, he shouldn't eat anything Mishras on oven, soaked with grapes, which sounds like even the Tam of grapes that was soaked. You soak grapes in water and you have the Tam of them. And Kasher and Kalim, it says in Parshas Matos, you have the Kasher of Treif Kalim. Why do you have to kasha the trafe kalem? Because it has a taste of trafe. So obviously the taste of trafe is usher. So you have to either say that neither of those mean tam ke'ikar. Some people say mishras means something else. It means if you have a grape sandwich, then you count the bread and the grapes together to get a zayis called hetem sarfel eser. It's a special thing in nazir that you can't learn to anything else. And by trafe kalem is a special chiddush in trafe kalem you can't learn to anything else. So, two chidushim, you can't learn from them. Or Rashi is another daya. No, they both teach you tam ke'ikar. But if they both teach you tam ke'ikar, there's a din, shteik sup mei melabdin. When two psukim teach you the same thing, then it's only those two cases, not anything else. That's Rashi in Sochim daf mem hei. He goes through this at great length. Rashi is the main author of the opinion that Tom Kicker's only Din Darabanan. Okay, and then all the other Rishonim, why not? Now, Rambam seems to mostly agree with him. So, Tom Kicker is a Din Darabanan, according to Rashi, meaning all the Pesukim they think you can learn Tom Kicker from, which again, what are the Pesukim? Number one, soaking grapes. No, that's a special Kiddush in Nazir. Treif Kalim is a special Kiddush in Kalim. But in general, the Tom of Treif in your food is no problem. It's just that Din Darabanan never goes to Tom Kicker. Okay, the Pesach on this issue.
What brings Rashi to say that there's another source in the Gemara that seems that way?
Yes, absolutely. There's really a whole sugya. The basic problem is that there's a whole Gemara that seems to learn Tam Ke'ikar from the Torah in Pesachim, also in Nazir. But there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samak Zayin, which seems to say that Tam over Lul Mamashel, Tam of Isha without Mamash is only Drabanan. So how do you resolve those gars? So Rashi says Tom Kicker's really only Darabanan. Okay. Now, this is by way of background, this is really Sif Beis, is about paskening this. Right? By way of background, let's now use that to help us understand Sif Aleph. What is Sif Aleph about? Sif Aleph is a Gemara in Chulin. Okay, so remember this background. There's actually tons of lumdas about this whole machlokas, Tom Kicker, Daraisa, Darabanan, and exactly what does it mean. There's more than one Rav Chaim about it, but we will leave that for now. And we'll stick with the Halacha L'maisa. Halacha L'maisa, there is one sentence, saying, let's say, in Chulin, Daf Tzadi Zayin, Amar Aleph to Amud Beis, which is said by Rava, which is the basis of this Sif. What does Rava say? Rava says as such: Amar Abanan b'Taima, v'Amar Abanan b'Kthela, v'Amar Abanan b'Shishim. That's what Rava says. The Taima sometimes depends how you taste it. Sometimes b'Kthela, how a Goyish chef tastes it, and sometimes it depends on Shishim. What's the case? Well, Gemara says, what's the case of a taima? When does the tarobeth depend on you tasting it? They say that's easy. This is a case of min b'she'eino mino. If two things that are different mix in, let's say a little wine mixes into your apple juice.
of heter.
Mutter wine mixes into your apple juice. Like, what's the example they give here? Like Truma. Let's say the coin is some Truma wine and spills some wine into his apple juice. Now he wants to know if he can feed it to his Israelite cousins. So he tastes it. If he tastes the apple juice, then it's a Tom Kicker, so it all is Tom's apple juice, so it's all Truma, so he won't feed it to his friends and cousins. If he doesn't taste any wine, then he'll say it's bottled because you can't taste it, and he will feed it to his cousins. That's Amar Rabbanan b'Taima. That's a very rare case. What would be another example of that? What we mentioned in the Shach, etc., that we don't rely on the Chachila, but let's say I cut an onion with a fleshik knife, and then tasted it, and then accidentally cooked it in a milk of quiche. So, when I tasted it, it was still heter, it was just an onion with a fleshik knife. If I tasted meat, then it has tam of meat, and the quiche is treif. If I didn't taste meat, then there's no tam of meat, and the quiche is kosher. What are the cases of the kfeila? The kfeila is min b'she'eno mino. We'll have to get used to these abbreviations. Mem b'she'en aleph mem versus mem b'ze mem. Min b'she'eno mino means, what does mem b'she'eno mino means? You can taste, right? Meaning, if I mix kosher apple juice and treif apple juice, tasting's not going to help. It tastes like apple juice either way, right? It only makes sense to talk about a taste test if they're different things. So, the isura, right? What if there's lard in my vegetable soup? So I can't taste it to see if there's lard, because it might be treif. How can I taste it if it might be treif? So I have to get a goy to taste it. Kfeila means a chef. I have to go to the goy chef and ask him, can you taste this vegetable soup? Do you taste any lard or not?
Tasting and spitting, that was already in
Yisra. Ah, that's the discussion. Taz here, we'll come back to it. Okay, now, when do you use the rule of Shishim? So, someone want to guess, when will a taste test not work? And instead, we'll measure if it was more or less than a 60th.
Min
b'mino. Min b'mino. Obviously, if, let's say I have tomato sauce. I have, heter mechira tomato sauce, and I have regular tomato sauce, but I'm a very, very frum, so it's treif and kosher. So they get mixed together in a big vat in the kitchen, and I don't know. So a taste test won't help. It's all tomato sauce. So then I see if the Isser tomato sauce was less than a 60th, it's bottle. If it's more than a 60th, it's not bottle. Or there's another example. Or exactly, min b'she'eno mino d'isura v'leka kfeila. What if there's no goyim? Who says there's always goyim? Right? Okay, so if you grew up in New York, there's always goyim. But in Israel, there's not always goyim. So what if you have a mixture of lard and there are no goyim around? Doesn't mean there's no goyim in the world. There are goyim in the world, but not convenient now. So what do you do if there's no goyim convenient? Then you see if it was more than a 60th. It's also if it's less than 60th, it's mutter. This is what Rav says. This is a summary of Hilchos Haruvos. Now we just have to have the Perush. Okay, let's go through the Perush step by step. There's a lot of Perush necessary here. What should we start with? Okay, let's start with what Zev brought up. Fine, Seder. Okay, what did Zev? Zev brought up a side point. Zev brought up a diuk, which is not about paskening tarovet, which is not about whether tarovet is kosher or treif. What the diuk Zev brought up? Ah, we see a Jew can't taste the mixture of Isser v'Heter. Why? Because it's usher to even taste something that is treif. Now, yeah, it's usher to even taste something that might be treif. Right? That was your correct diuk from the Gemara, right? Diuk from the Gemara is obvious. A goy can taste it, but a Jew can't taste it. Okay, so is that so obvious? What's so bad about tasting it? I'm not eating it. So that's the discussion of the Taz. Taz is going to be, before we get into these actual halachas, this is the diuk. The Taz says in the cut and base, Mida asar yis kasav drisha, Mida asar yisrael lemitambo yish lo mod, Shepamim shekonu basav nakatsa vin yodua v'luachu lo, asar litam l'shono ad kan l'shono. Sometimes people would buy meat, and they wouldn't know if it was salted meat or unsalted meat. Right? In America, all the meat is salted already, right? So it's a non-issue. All the kosher meat is already salted. In Israel, nowadays, they still sell unkashered meat. But when you moved here?
In the 70s, there was imports of meat that was frozen before it was kashered.
Okay.
And that was the problem of the 3 days.
Right. Okay, we'll get it. So some places, they had the stores, they could sell kashered meat or meat you're supposed to kasher at home. So what if you send your kid to the store, he comes home with a piece of meat and you don't know if it was kashered meat and then you can just use it, or if it was unkashered meat and you have to kasher it first.
So there's a difference. You ask a guy can tell the difference in kosher meat and treif meat. The kosher meat's too salty. Because they put in so much salt in the kosher that it gets salty. So you could just, what did you say?
You could lick it
a little. What do you taste the meat? You're not going to chew the piece of raw meat. It means you lick the piece of meat, and if you see that it's salt, if you taste that it's salty, then you know it's kosher. And if you taste that it's not salty, you know you still have to kosher it. So the Drisha said you're not allowed to do that. Why? It might be treif, it might be kosher, maybe it still has blood, maybe it's treif. I know. So maybe he's worried about the dam on the surface, which we assume is considered peevish. What? Okay, that is a... That is a good side question on the Drisha. We're going to leave that for now, which is Al Tzuchus Dam, who says that it's usher to eat unsalted meat. But says the Drisha nonetheless, he says you can't taste it to see if it's kosher or treif, because it might be treif. Okay, let's grant him that for now, suspend our disbelief. So what's he been dying from here? He's been dying from here, it's usher for Jews to taste potentially treif food. Otherwise, why would you need the gut? Says the Taz, not so pashut. Says the Taz, no, in Simon and Bays, by the Mara, we see you are allowed to taste something. That's a strange din, that if an animal is missing, a Mara is a gallbladder, I think in English, is missing the gallbladder, then if you taste the place where the gallbladder belongs, if you taste the bitter taste of the gall, then it's kosher. And if not, it's treif. So you don't know if the animal's treif or not. So he sees you're allowed to taste it to see if the animal's treif or not. Paskins, the Drisha, what's the big machlokas? How about te'imas isurin? What's the diuk from the din of kfela? Says the Drisha. The Drisha learns aser litom afilu suffik iser, right? Not only a bondic iser. Even a suffik iser you're not allowed to taste. And that's why you need the kfela. Says the Taz, not true. Mutter litom suffik iser. It's actually mutter to taste the suffik iser. So why do you need a kfela? If it's mutter to taste the suffik iser, why do you need a kfela? What? Exactly. What does he say? Moto litom suffik iser bilshono, with your tongue. But, so why do you need kfela? Just taste it. So his answer is, 1 second. But you need a guy here because the taste test of taruves needs real eating. Meaning, if you're not just checking if it's salty or sweet. Checking if it's salty or sweet, you could just lick something and tell if it's salty or sweet. You gave me a lollipop, you want to know if it's a real lollipop that's sweet, or a fake gag lollipop that's salty. So I can taste it with my tongue for 1 second to tell you. But over here, we're talking about chelev and basar and all kinds of concoctions and stews and soups. Those are very, very complicated to tell. You need someone to really give it a good chewing and swallowing, also explain many of the achronim, and to really eat it well in order to tell. So he says, of course a Jew can taste the suffik iser. But that's not enough. Then why do you need to go here? Because a little taste is not enough. You need to really eat it in order to do a proper taste test.
What's the difference between the tongue and the teeth? Can you chew it and spit it out?
So he assumes you cannot chew it and spit it out. You can only taste it with your tongue and not chew it and spit it out. Why? The assumption, the chora, would be that chewing it, even though neither one of them is called achila, but chewing it and spitting it out is close to achilas. There it goes around it. More.
In the hemshich of the Taz, when he brings up zone, doesn't he say that the korona is mutter with zone? And then he sees the chad between zone, but that zone isn't it also mutter with zone?
No, what he says is this, is that when it comes to chewing it and spitting it out, that's what's mutter in a tainus yachin and usher in treif. When it comes to just licking it, that's mutter in both.
Okay.
That's what he means. Ad or chayim helpas tainus. We see that what's that tsom tainus yochid is more mekel than treif, and you're allowed to taste. Says no, there's two different kinds of tasting. The tasting of chewing it and spitting it out, we're mekel on the tainus yochid and machmer on macholos asuros. But the mekel of just licking it to see what it tastes like, that's much more macholos asuros. So now notice the machlokas here is not such a wide machlokas. The drisha says you can't do anything, and the taz says. First of all, he only talks about suffigisser. He doesn't say whether mutter and vada yes, sir. The prima gutta assumes he's only mutter suffigisser. And he's not even mutter teasing it and spitting it out, just like licking it a little. So it doesn't even go in your mouth. Not chewing it. So that's a very minor heter. Either way, you don't get a big heter here for tasting treif. Right? So you get no heter or a very small heter. The Pesach Tshuva here quotes from earlier in Siman Beis, a diuk from the Shach who holds like the Drisha. What's the diuk from the Shach that holds like the Drisha? If you remember, one of the cases, we're not sure if the animal is a trefa animal or a healthy animal, so you taste the liver where the gallbladder belongs to see if the animal is kosher or trefa. What did the Shach say? It's mutter because it's probably going to be kosher. Sounds like only if it's probably kosher it's mutter, but if it's, that's his diuk. If it's probably kosher, you can taste it. But if it really is a 50-50 of treif, then you shouldn't taste it. So his diuk from the shach is like the drisha against the taz. Now, his diuk from the shach is like the drisha against the taz. Now, however, this is all talking about real treif. Then at the end of the Pesachei Tshuva, he makes a new discussion based on the Tzemach Tzedek. Not the Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch. In the Achronim quote the Tzemach Tzedek, there are two famous Shut Tzemach Tzedeks. One they call the Tzemach Tzedek Kadmon, right? The ancient, the early Tzemach Tzedek, and the other they call the Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch. Right, there was an earlier Tzemach Tzedek before anyone ever heard of Lubavitch. And then there was the Tzemach Tzedek Lubavitch Rebbe. This is the Tzemach Tzedek Kadmon. I don't know, here it doesn't say it, there's the Shut Tzemach Tzedek from Mem Zayin. But if you look for it, you'll see. I mean, you open the books, you can see where it is. It is the Tzemach Tzedek Kadmon. One of the ways you can tell if it's quoted is, in modern day Sfarim will always say. Also, the Tzemach Tzedek Kadmon only had one volume. The Tzemach Tzedek of the Lubavitch Rebbe had Or Chaim and Yerodeya. So if it's only one, if they don't tell you which part, then it's usually the Tzemach Tzedek Kadmon. Okay, so one of the early shuts of the earlier Achronim, Tzemach Tzedek said, his some discussion, can I taste the boris? Boris is the soap. To see if it has enough salt or not. And what was the salt? The salt was made in those days out of treif. Right? They would make it out of fat and blubber and all kinds of other things. Right? But it didn't taste good. Right? I mean, you can't eat soap. Right? That's a threat, right? If you use four-letter words, I'll wash your mouth out with soap. It's clearly, anything that's, a threat of torture is clearly not good for eating. So, but the guy wanted to see if the soap was made properly, so he just wanted to taste it and see if they put enough salt or not. But obviously, he wasn't going to eat it, and even though it's made of treif, it's not edible anymore. So says the Tzemach Tzedek, and that was Vaday treif, says the Tzemach Tzedek, no problem. He says, since it's pogum, even though it's asur d'rabbanan to eat inedible treif, tasting is okay. So here's the psak of the Tzemach Tzedek. What did the Tzemach Tzedek say? He says, Dover pogum, Aser ba'achila midrabanan, Umutter b'te'ima. And what's his logic? His logic is like, you don't make xera l'xera. Really, something that's inedible is kosher. It's only aser drabanan to eat disgusting inedible things. Like, inedible treif is only aser drabanan. Since it's only aser midrabanan, therefore, they only asked for eating it. They didn't ask for tasting it. And this had nothing to do with the Shach and the Taz and the Drisha. They were talking about good food, edible food. I know they were talking about raw meat, right? I mean, the Drisha and the Shach were talking about raw meat. But raw meat is still good, edible food. They weren't talking about something which was rendered inedible and then made into soap. Once you render it inedible and make it into soap, then it becomes, it's still also abundant to eat it. But it's mutter to taste. And then the Pesachei Tshuva goes to Machlokes about what he meant. He said, the son of the Tzemach Tzedek in his notes there, and the Pri Chadash understood, what did he mean? How far to take this? So, there are two ways to understand him. One is, Bino Shel HaTzemach Tzedek, and the Pri Chadash, what did they understand? They understood that he meant that any Iser Derabanan is mutter to taste. So you mean, the Iser of tasting is by Doresas, not by Derabanans. Our discussion was Chelev and Basar, Shash Iser Doresa, that's when they were going to Ima. But on Derabanans, there's no problem with Ima. Therefore, if you want to taste, what was the discussion of the... I forget if this was the Tzemach Tzedek's case or the Nudi Huda case. Someone wanted to like taste this Tam Yenum to see if it was good or not, and that was part of his business, or other Drabanans. Okay. No, that wasn't Tzemach Tzedek's case. That was the Nudi Huda's case. Like, maybe it should be Mutter to taste. You want to taste Venus Akums and things like that. Okay, if it's only an Isra Drabanan, then it should be okay to taste. They weren't Gozer tasting on Drabanans. If you want to go to chef school, right? So let's say some of the things you cook there are Asa D'Oraisa, some are Asa D'Rabbanan. So can you taste the... one of the shaylos, of course, in chef school is, even before you get to the tasting, the cooking. What if you have to cook Basar V'Cholav D'Oraisa? That's Asa Revishal. But okay, once you get out of that, then what if you have to taste it? Why do you have to taste it? Because you have to see if you have to add more spices, this, that, whatever. I think when people cook, they often have to taste it to check if they have to add spices or such. So if it's Asa D'Oraisa, we basically killed it. What if it's Asa D'Rabbanan? Okay, so here we have the Heter. Maybe that's what the Tzemach Tzedek meant. However, the Nodeb Yehuda said, when he was asked, can we get a Heter in this to taste Stam Yenam? I'm going to go into the business, and all the goyim will bring their Stam Yenam, and I'll taste it, and I'll see if it's good to invest in it or not good, or whatever the case may be. He says, no, you misunderstood the Tzemach Tzedek. This is not a blanket Heter of all D'Rabbanans. The Nodeb Yehuda says, no, it's Davka... Iser Pogum is mutter to taste. Not all Drabbanans. He didn't mean all Drabbanans. He meant only Iser Pogum. It adds to the Nudi, it could be misleading if you don't look it up inside. He says, and even that, he only meant with your tongue. What he meant is, you can like swish it in your mouth and spit it out. The Lashon is misleading the context of these other things. He clearly said, you could even like take it and spit it out. And the Nodeb Yehuda agrees to that. Right? So, Mutter Tima, even to taste and spit out. I know the last words of the Piskei Tshuva say something that Tima Belasha, but what he means, if you look at the Nodeb Yehuda, is tasting and spitting it out. Yeah?
You said the Lashon was ambiguous.
I apologize. Now, so this is a big machlokes. What's the legacy of this Tzemach Tzedek? Did he mount all the Rabbanans or only Iser Pogum? What does the Svara seem to be? Rav Schechter explains the Svara of these two drachim. Is that? It depends what the Svara is. What's the Svara? According to this case, the Svara is that Ein Gozrin Gzeira L'Gzeira. An iser that's inedible is only gzeira to eat, and tasting it is only gzeira because you might eat it, so we don't make gzeira gzeira. Rav Schechter explains, according to the Nodeb Yehuda, the logic is something a little different. And this is based on a Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe asks the following question. He says, let's say you have a medicine that's made of, it's really, I don't know why everyone calls it Rav Moshe. It's of course like Yad Avraham, the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, and Kuf Zayin Yerodea. But, and we'll get to it in Simon Kof Gimel. What if you have, Ramos says, like some medicine that's made of old, dried out, inedible treif? So is that a problem or not? Ramos says no. Ramos says, do you know why? Can anyone tell me in one word that starts with Aleph? Why the Rabbanan assert eating inedible treif? Asheveh. Because when you eat it, you're showing that you think it's edible. And if you show you think it's edible, then that's midrabanan, you know, you're hoisted on your own petard. Midrabanan, we say, if you think it's edible, then it's usher for you. Midoraisa, so we don't say that. So let's say I find stinking rotten carcass of, nevela, and I decide to eat it. That's usher drabanan, even though really kosher, because once an edible is kosher. But if I think it's edible, then for me, the rabbanan said I should be consistent and I can't eat it. So Rav Moshe says, but if someone's eating it for medicine, then they don't think it's edible. Right? If someone's eating it for medicine, then they don't think it's edible. Then they admit it's not edible. They're just eating it for some other reasons. Therefore, there should be no iskra banan. So he wants to say the same thing for the no to be Yehuda. He wants to say, what's the heter? The heter is if I'm tasting the soap to see if the recipe is right or not. That's an achshave that I think it's good to eat. It's just I have some reason in my chemistry lesson that I need to taste it. If someone has something that's not edible and they eat it, that's achshave. You're showing that you like eating it. If you taste it, that's not achshave. You don't like to eat it. You're just showing that you need to prepare it for use as a soap or you need to do a chemistry experiment or something. And therefore, I think what the good svara is that tasting is always usher. The reason why it's mutter here is because the only problem with eating is achshave. And when there's no achshave, there's no problem. And te'ima is not achshave. If I really thought it was edible, I would eat it, not spit it out. If I taste it and spit it out, then it shows I don't think it's edible. Why am I tasting it? Because I need it for soap or for some other strange reason. Okay, this is going to be a big nafkamina. What's the big nafkamina? The big nafkamina is, and I have this in print, is a big machlokas between the two poskim of the OU. Who are the two poskim of the OU?
Rebelsky
of Torah Das and Rav Herschel Schechter of Yeshivas of Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan, about mouthwash and toothpaste for that matter. Although toothpaste is more tzadim l'hakel. Do you need kosher mouthwash? I think he said toothpaste also. Let's see. Mouthwash. Here they're arguing about mouthwash. Okay. How about mouthwash? Rebelsky, yeah? According to the first way of learning the Tzemach Tzedek, it's mutter to taste any drabanan. Why? Because every drabanan is a gzera. Tasting is a gzera, so you don't make a gzera like gzera. According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. It's usher to taste nisr drabanan. It's only mutter to taste something which is not fit for consumption. Why? The answer is because something that's not fit for consumption should also be mutter to eat if not for achshavei. It's really mutter to eat except for achshavei. But if you taste it, there's no achshavei. So, it's not machol sasuros. I mean, it's only machol sasuros if you're machshavit. If you taste it, you weren't machshavit, so it's not usur at all. Lemaisa, the poskim assume like the Nevi Yehuda. Lemaisa, the poskim assume like the Nevi Yehuda. Here, we're generally machmer like the Drisha and like the Nevi Yehuda, that you can't taste a real treif. You can't taste at all. And even a drabanan you can't taste. The only hatter is to taste something that's pugum. That's what most poskim assume.
Because of the fact that pugim should be able to eat.
Right, exactly. Theoretically, you should be able to eat it.
That sounds more like the first svara.
No. The angle. We'll discuss it later. Now, where did this come up? Rebelsky has an article that he published that he says you're not allowed to use mouthwash without a hechsher. Nowadays, it used to be there's only Hamish mouthwash without a hechsher. Nowadays, I think Listerine is a hechsher, Scope is a hechsher, meaning all the main American brands have a hechsher, if I'm not mistaken. I know that. What other main American brands of mouthwash are there? Scope, I think, has an OU, and Listerine has a OK. What?
Crest.
Do that have a hechsher? Who knows? Okay, anyway, Rebelsky says you're not allowed to use trace mouthwash. Why? Because one of the ingredients in mouthwash is, I mean, you never know what could be, but one of the main issues is glycerin. Glycerin is the root of all evil. What is glycerin? Glycerin is a sweetener. I've heard people say, oh, glycerin is not roi l'achila. Doesn't make any sense at all. Glycerin is a sweetener. It's like sugar. Of course, it's roi l'achila. Glycerin is a sweetener. What is glycerin made from? Like, why do they use glycerin as a sweetener in a lot of things? Because it's a very cheap sweetener. Why is it so cheap? Because you can make it from anything organic. Anything organic can be made into glycerin. Don't ask me how. Scientists will tell you how. What? Glycerin? A sweetener. It's like a sugar. It's like sugar. It tastes good. It's a sweetener. Glycerin. Glycerin is a sweetener that can be made from any organic substance. Meaning you can't make it out of gold and silver. But you can make it out of vegetable material or animal material. And it's basically 50-50 in the world. You know, there are companies in China that make glycerin out of vegetables, out of animals, out of whatever. You know, you can never tell. I mean, if you're making kosher product, you can tell. You just go to the factory and make sure you have a factory with a Kosher certification. But most glycerin comes from factories without Kosher certifications, which means you never know where it comes from. So every mouthwash is a Suffolk treif because it has glycerin. So Belsky says, you're not allowed to taste treif. Remember, you're not allowed to taste treif. Right? That's what we paskin. Right? The Shach and the Jerusha say you're not allowed to taste treif. And even the Taz says you're allowed to lick it, but you're not allowed to put it in your mouth, swish it around, and spit it out. So everybody agrees you're not allowed to taste treif. Oh, it's only Suffolk treif. They even say you're not allowed to taste Suffolk treif, like in our case, where it was a Suffolk in the Tarovas if it was bottle or not. So therefore, you're not allowed to use mouthwash without a hashgacha. That is what he paskins, and he quotes the first Taz and the Poskim, etc. And he wonders why people who are usually very careful with matters of kashrus are lenient here without any halachic basis. Okay. Rav Schechter answers back. He says, what do you mean? We've always, all of our Zaydis, since they came to America and they invented mouthwash, I don't know when they invented mouthwash, but since they invented mouthwash, have always used the mouthwash without a hashgacha, because it's not right lachila. You can't eat mouthwash. Mouthwash is not edible. Once it's not edible, we have the heter of the Tzemach Tzedek. L'kuli Allah. I mean, you don't get it. Even though you didn't admit it's not edible, there's a heter of the Tzemach Tzedek. So, and then Rebelsky goes back and says, no, mouthwash is roi l'achila. So I don't know how to be machria this machlokas. But basically, this is what the mouthwash machlokas depends on. Once you admit that mouthwash is not fit for eating, then you have a mefurish heter that's not tzedek, and the Noda B'Yehuda, and everyone agrees that once mouthwash is not fit for eating, you're not allowed to swallow treif mouthwash, but you wouldn't do that anyway. Meaning it should be even better. but you wouldn't do that anyway. You wouldn't swallow treif. Who would swallow treif mouthwash?
It's not.
It's motu l'kuli
alma. No, generally, this example is not enough.
No, it is not. It is not l'kuli alma. So what do you say about the mouthwash issue? Mouthwash, if it's nifsal le'achila, then it is mutter l'kuli alma. Why? Because tasting something which is not fit for eating is mutter l'kuli alma. And if it is roi l'achila, then it's usher l'kuli alma. Okay? I don't know how to be machria, whether mouthwash is good to eat or bad to eat. Rav Schechter claims, as a masor from old rabbis in America, that mouthwash is not fit for eating. And he says the same thing for toothpaste. Toothpaste also is not fit for eating. And that's why I think the minhaga olam, when I grew up, was that everyone used mouthwash and toothpaste without hashgacha, because there was no mouthwash and toothpaste with hashgacha, and they didn't worry about it. Nowadays, I assume that people are much more firm than when I grew up. I'm sure there are still plenty of B'nai Torah who use mouthwash, even though it might have treif in it. Meaning the B'nai Torah admit it says glycerin on the ingredients, so that it might be treif. It's 50-50 odds of being treif. Why is it mutter? The Jerusha, the Taz, and the Shach all admit you can't swish around treif in your mouth and spit it out, even if it only might be treif. Because here it's pogum, and that's how Rav Schechter explains the minhaga olam to use mouthwash and toothpaste without hashgacha. If someone wants to be machmir, then they should only use with hashgacha. Or some of the mumchim say, if you get ones that don't have glycerin, some of them have sorbitol instead of glycerin, then the odds are there's probably no treif. So maybe a machmir could use it without a hashgacha but didn't have glycerin. But most of them have glycerin.
Okay. Next question. So why don't we base what's right off Kila based off of what people actually do? Like, I've never seen someone who's thirsty take a drink of mouthwash.
Okay, so here it gets very subtle. The problem here is you have like a paragraph in English by Rebelsky and a paragraph in Hebrew by Rav Schechter, and you know, it's not like you have like an 8-page Igros Moshe and a 9-page Minchas Yitzchak that you can sink your teeth in. I mean, if you have the time, and figure out exactly all their tinness. It seems to me the machlokas is this. Rav Schechter says, lemaisa, you can't drink mouthwash. It's disgusting to drink mouthwash. I assume that's still true. So therefore, it's not roi l'achila, ma'abaya. And Rav Belsky says, it's disgusting to drink mouthwash, but it has a very pleasant taste. It leaves a nice taste in your mouth. It gives you a pleasant experience. And he sees that as a tzad to call it still Roi Lachila. It's a little funny. It's more Roi. It's more like Roi Lati'ima. Rav Schechter does seem to have the upper hand here, I admit.
You don't have to call it Roi Lachila. You just have to call it Achshuveh at that point.
No, but what?
You're showing that you're machshuv it again.
No.
But you're not machshuv that you would eat it.
You're machshuv for its purpose.
Yeah, but that's not the same as machshuv for its soap. You're also machshuv for its purpose. It's good soap.
No, but you're not.
Okay, it's a tricky one. Rav Schechter does seem to have the upper hand here. I mean, we all know that we all consider it disgusting to drink mouthwash, I'm pretty sure. As a matter of fact, he said there was even a masorah from Shimon Schwab that if someone needed a pill on a fast day and couldn't take it without water, they should swallow it with mouthwash. Because mouthwash, not breaking the fast, is not right lachima. That was the masorah from Shimon Schwab that he said in the Heights everyone knew. I've heard a lot of rabbis still have this masorah nowadays. Someone needs a pill and they can't take it without water. Fine, take it with mouthwash, because that counts as taking it without water, because something's not right. Lachila is not breaking your fast. Lemaisa, Rav Schechter does seem to have the upper hand here. What exactly is Rebelski's taina? He says that it's considered a tasty food product, which is that nifsal lachila, because you like the great fresh taste in your mouth. Not okay. Someone should go and ask him exactly, you know, how to analyze this further. It's not fair to, you know, I'm certainly, first of all, I'm not sticking my head in between Schechter and Belsky. And second of all, whatever, it's not fair to Paskin, like, who's obviously right, who's obviously wrong, based on one paragraph when they all have deep reasons for what they say, I'll be Nigla.
Just to save time, I'll give you the whole story, but I'm going to my head that it's very dangerous to train glycerin. So I don't know if that helps in this.
Brent, I don't know if it helps either, because it's still. I think it's still right lachili, even if it's dangerous. I mean, it's not going to kill you on the spot. It's dangerous to eat a lot of things that I eat.
I'm sorry, but I don't understand, because we have to define what's the right lachili again, but it's right lachili la'adam. It's not right lachili la'adam.
No, we're talking about Adam now, not Kelef.
We have to define it. What does it mean? You can't apply anything to either fine. If you're talking about nutritional value, that's one thing. If you're talking about that you don't spit it out, that's a different thing. What's the definition, halakhic definition of royal people? We have it in so many halakhos.
Okay, that is a very good point. We'll actually see, there's a Rosh Shlomo Zalman who suggests that even things that we consider gross might be royal achila unless they are absolutely inedible. So it could be that that's also part of machlo, because maybe they argue about where to draw the line of roi lachila. Rav Schechter says roi lachila means a normal person would drink it. Well, Rebelski might say that roi lachila means, you know, it has some redeeming value, you know, and it's not completely, it's not completely disgusting. After all, it does have a nice refreshing flavor, even if there are other disgusting aspects to it. So I think we'll leave it at that for now, and we'll come back to it in 7 Kuf Gimel.
This whole discussion is about Safik Treif, right?
No, the Tzav Tzedek was even Vadei Treif. It just happens to be the mouthwash of Safik. Okay. I mean, they don't make Vadei Treif mouthwash, to the best of my knowledge. But theoretically, this had to be even in Vadei Treif. I just don't think we'd see if you could buy Vadei Treif mouthwash. You actually can't. the mumchim say it's near impossible to be mevarer b'di'evit. I mean, obviously, if I'm opening a factory, I can be mevarer where all my products come from. But they say that to actually, like, b'di'evit, like, call Listerine and figure out what their glycerin was is near impossible. I never tried it. The simple pshat might be that there's no iser rechitza if it's for refuah, etc. Right, so it's not so terrible. Right, meaning rechitza is mutter for refuah on Yom Kippur. It's only usher for tainuk. So, okay, Mistama, that was his basis. I never asked him. Okay, Viter. Now let's leave this for now, though it's very, very important. And we'll come back to a little the gedder of Ein Roi Lachila. We'll still be confused, but we'll come back to a little. And let's go on to the main point of this if. The main point of this if is, now that, not this if, this line, every line is an hour. And we still have to finish the whole sermon today. Now that we know why a Jew can't taste it when you have a mixture of treif and kosher, the next question is, why can a guy taste it? Meaning, since when is a guy kosher le'edus in halacha? So, before we get to that, let's see a three-way machlokas what phela means, which might already have the answer to this. Phela means a chef. Why does it say a chef? So, someone tell me, why did it say chef?
Because a normal person can't necessarily take all the
tastes. Aha, that is what the Shach quotes from his Bechotin. So, it's in Shach's of Cotton Bays, in the parentheses, he says someplace, Umechotni ha'olof hamarumein Reb Gershon, right? So the Umechotin of the Shach says that the interprets in a rush, right? So one is, we say Davka a chef. Why? Why Davka a chef? Because only a chef knows how to taste. A regular person's taste buds are not sensitive enough. Right? Right? Because what we're saying is that Tam Hanirgash Likfela Velo Lishar Bnei Adam is Aser. That's basically what we're saying halachically, right? You need Davka, a chef. Davka, because he has trained taste buds. It says trained taste buds. I know it just looks like smudges. You need a chef for trained taste buds. Why? Because even if you and I can't taste the lard, but if a chef can taste the lard, that's trained. This, who says this? This is the Rush Lefi Mechutno Shel Hashach. Right? And it's also Yesh Omrim in the Rashba. Right? It's also a Yesh Omrim in the Rashba. Rashba is a Yesh Omrim. Ah, it has to be a chef, because only a chef has delicate taste buds. The rest of our taste buds are too coarse. We're not able to do a good taste test. The Rashba and the Rishonim reject this pshat. We do not hold from this pshat. What are we asking? What do we say?
Reputation.
We say, not true. We go by a regular person, not a chef. Adarabba. If a regular person can't taste it, it's mutter. I don't care what the chef tastes. The chef's not lying, right? The chef says, I taste lard. He does. But it doesn't matter. That's not called a tam. The definition of a tam is a tam hanirgash l'rov bnei adam. We pass in that tam equals tam hanirgash l'rov bnei adam. So even if the chef says, how can you eat this stuff? I taste the lard, I taste the lobster, I taste the whatever it is. It doesn't matter. We say that's very nice for you. But when the Torah said tam, it meant a tam of an average person, not a tam of an expert. And therefore, it's mutter even though you can taste the lard.
Okay, yeah, but in theory, the non-expert might be tasting it, but not be able to articulate what he's tasting.
Doesn't matter. Then that's mutter.
Then he's actually tasting it.
No, that's mutter.
So why does the
Gemara
say
kfeil? So why does the Gemara say kfeil? Let's go to pshat too. What does Tosa say? Davka kfeil. Why davka kfeil? Tosa and others.
Reputation.
Davka kfeil. Because of nemanus. Meaning these are two totally different pshatim. The yesh omrim l'chutn of the shach says. I mean, there's always, if I ask you a question, there's always two issues. Number one, are you telling the truth? And number two, do you know what you're talking about, right? I mean, if someone's very honest, but they don't know what they're talking about, that's not good. Someone knows what they're talking about, they're dishonest, it's also not good. So that's machlokes. The yesh omrim, the mchutin, and the shach say, why do you need a kfeila so they'll know what they're talking about? A non-kfeila doesn't even know taste. Only a kfeila knows how to tell tastes. We reject that. Tos says, no, even a regular person knows what they're talking about. The reason he fails to know he's honest. He's a guy. Since when did a guy in Kasher Leidus? You ever hear that you want to know something usher and mutter, you go ask a guy? Chas v'shalom. Why is it? Chas v'shalom, of course you don't go ask a guy. So why in this case the Naaman? Because of what's the rule? What's the rule? No. What's the rule? Why does it have to be Davka Shef? Shmuley? What's the rule? What do you call that in Hebrew? Reputation? Uman lomarium nase, a professional will not weaken his professional reputation. That's why a guy has no nemanus, but a chazaka has nemanus. There's a chazaka. A professional wouldn't lie because it'll ruin his professional reputation. Can you imagine? I'm a chef. If I'm a regular guy, I go, what are you doing in Orthodox Judaism? You find a caretaker, right? You go to the caretaker, you say, quick, taste the cholent. Does it taste like lard or not? He'll say whatever he wants. What does he care? But if I go to a chef at the Four Seasons, and I say, tell me, do you taste lard in here or not? He would never lie. Why? Because if he lied, then people would say, ah, this guy said he didn't taste lard, but there really was lard. We see, he doesn't know his taste. He doesn't even know anything about food. And it'll ruin his reputation, and he'll lose his job at the Four Seasons. Therefore, there's a general principle. You don't believe a guy's stan, but if his professional reputation is at stake, and he could be discovered to have lied about something which he has a professional expertise about, and then no one will trust his opinion anymore, then you trust the guy. No, I don't know. That's not true at all. You go to the Four Seasons, you ask for the chef, he tastes it, he says, no lard. What happens? Then you bring it home and say, hey, there is lard. So you bring it back to the Four Seasons and go to the other chefs and say, remember what that guy said you tasted? Is there lard? Sure, there's lard. Sure, there's lard. Sure, there's lard. And if you know anything about the competition between chefs, then soon enough that first one will be out of a job. They'll manage to spread the rumor just fine.
It seems a little obvious.
As the Nachash said, right? Chazak al Uman, that he's so
nebnei umnasa.
This whole
idea of nebnasa is a little obvious and intrinsic to anything that you're doing. You don't necessarily need it to specifically say, go do kfeila or go to an expert, go to a chef, because in building the system, it makes sense that you're going to ask someone who actually gives you
but that's not a kasha.
Answer.
It's not a kasha. It wouldn't hurt to say. No, what you're saying, if it didn't say kfeila, it would also be okay because we could assume it. But it's fine to say things that people would assume.
If I tell you, if you tell me to go find an expert or something, of course, if I ask someone who's not going to give me a straight answer, or the right answer, or an honest answer, then of course I'm wrong.
No, but we established that it's a standard person's taste, so you're going to go to a standard person.
Yeah. Okay, there's a third shot in kfeila. Correct. Well, we'll get to that. Okay, the third sheet is what Beis Yosef says for the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't say it needs to be kfeila at all. Not for reasons of expertise and not for reasons of honesty. Right? Not because you need the taste buds of a chef, not because only a chef would be honest. So what is the Machadav? What is Beis Yosef explaining for the Rambam? And the Rashi also brings this down to the Mishomer. He says, Lav Davka doesn't mean a chef. Oh, then why did it say chef? So it could be because it was common. He has a different shot. Nothing wrong with your shot. He says, because when you bring someone something to taste, you're treating them like a chef, meaning you're asking him to do the job of a chef. So even if he's a regular person, you call it a kfeila because you're asking him to do a kfeila type of job for you. So that's why it's called. It's called a kfeila. Lav davka. I think it goes together. It's not a social example. Say maybe you often go to a chef because who else does these things? And then you go to someone else. He's acting like a chef and he's helping you out with your cookery. And with your cooking, and therefore call him a chef, but it's lav davka a chef. This really segues into the question, if we were to ask this question more directly, the more direct way of asking the question is, why is the guy believed? So we already have one answer. One answer is the answer of Tosos. Says Tosos. Kfeila, because Uman lo mari umnase. Kfeila, because Uman is lo mari umnase. There's another opinion. The other opinion is Rashi. What does Rashi say? Why is the guy believed? Misiach lefi tumo. I think they usually spell it with a samach, lefto diachronim. Misiach lefi tumo, meaning you ask him innocently. There's a rule that goyim have nemanus in some circumstances if you ask them innocently. Because, what's the principle? Someone might lie for a reason, but the assumption is someone wouldn't lie for no reason. Right? They're not a pathological liar. So if you ask someone and there's a reason, then he might have incentive to lie. So then we have rules about when we accept someone's testimony and when we don't, and those rules exclude goyim. But if you ask someone an innocent question, and they don't understand that it's an issue, then why would they lie? Why would someone lie for no reason? That's called Mesiach Vitumo, speaking innocently. Right? You ask a goy what time it is. So he might lie, but why would someone lie about what time it is? What do they care what time it is? It's not like you ask him, you know, who does his money belong to? Or is this kosher or treif? You ask him if kosher or treif, so then he'll have cheshbonos, why he'll lie. But you ask him what time it is. You ask someone, you know, did you see a lady with a blue umbrella walk by here a second ago? Then there's really no reason he would lie, because he doesn't understand that there's any significance one way or the other. Right, he does know the ramifications. Correct, but he doesn't know.
That's the definition of
Mesiach. Yes, the definition of Mesiach Vitumah is he doesn't know the ramifications. Some of the classic examples are, like for Chodesh, you like ask him, like, you know, what crop this is, you know, or, you know, for Bechor, I'm not saying whether he's Nemet or not, each of these are sugyas. You ask him, like, what number baby this is of the, you know, or rather, if this cow has already had babies or not, or things like that, or for... you know, treifas, you ask him, how old is this baby animal? Things like that, that he doesn't understand their halachic ramifications, therefore he wouldn't lie. If he understood their halachic ramifications, he might lie. Maybe he's just like play tricks on Jews and would tell you it's also for no reason. Or maybe he's like a kind-hearted atheist who would always say it's mutter, because he'd say, well, there's no God anyway, but I'm a nice guy and I want them to be able to eat and be happy, so I'll just tell them it's mutter anyway. Like nowadays, they all do. Etc. Like, you know, all the everyone knows, like the non-from nurses, like if the woman in the hospital asks if there was blood, they always say no to be nice, right? The nurses examine the pregnant women or whatever. They always say no to be nice because they don't believe in anything anyway, and therefore let's be nice. So why should we make you serve for people? So that would be not Nemun, but Mesiach Vitumo. Why would he lie? Okay. Yeah, there's no difference between men and women when it comes to this.
So the woman would be
by the. Oh, you mean a Jewish woman?
No, a Goyish woman.
A Goyish woman and a Goyish man, same thing. Yeah. And Jewish women, Jewish men would be the same thing. But, okay, yeah.
Side question. Can you ask a minor, a Jew?
Oh, no, I don't think you could, because you're not allowed to ask me to taste it, because it might be treif. Yeah, you're not allowed to feed treif to a minor. No, it's usher to feed treif to a minor. That's even an issue d'oraisa, probably under most circumstances, that there's a special drasha that says you can't actively feed treif even to a cotton. But, so that's not a good solution. In terms of nemanus, a lot of sugyas assume that katan Mesiach Vitumo is just as good as goy Mesiach Vitumo, but it doesn't matter, it wouldn't help you. Okay, there are potentially three other shitas as well. What are the three other shitas? There is the Rashba and the Beis Yosef. Well, let's take the Rashba. The Rashba says... Either way is Neman. Says they're both right. Mesiach Vitumo is Neman, even if he's not a professional. Professional is Neman, even if he's not Mesiach Vitumo. Right? They're both good svaras. And then there is, I think there are only five sheets based on these. There is maybe the Rush. This is what the Trumas Hadeshen. This is what the Trumas Hadeshen, the way he interprets the Rush. The Rush is not clear what he says. It's not clear whether the Rush is the same as Rashi, or whether he says you need both Mesiach Vitumo and Kfeva. And if he does say you need both, it's not clear whether the Mesiach Vitumo is for Nemanus and the Kfeva is for tasting, to have good sensitive taste buds, or whether they're both for Nemanus. But at least the Trumas Hadeshen interprets the Rush that you need both. You need both to get Nemanus. A guy is only Neman if he has two Chazakas on his side. He needs Mesiach Vitumo and Uman Lomarium Nase. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eiger suggests, but he would say no. What has to be a case is that you ask a chef for cooking purposes to tell you if he tastes the lard or not, so he knows reputation is at stake, but he doesn't know it's a halachic shayla, and then it makes a difference to the Jewish halacha. I must admit, I'm skeptical about, again, we're not going to get into this, but the three pshatim in the Rush. I think pashat pshat in the Rush just meant Rashi. The Truma Zedeshah thinks you need two things to be Ne'eman. The Shas V'chutin thinks you need Mesiach V'tumah to be Ne'eman, and you need to be a kfeilet of sensitive taste buds. Okay, the fifth sheet is the Rambam. And what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says
that there is
belief. The Rambam doesn't say anything, basically. The Rambam says he's believed Stam. No Mesiach V'tumah, no Kfeilah. He just says, ask any guy, Vizel. Okay, which two of these shitas are... Okay, what? There are two halachic problems here. One is, what are the two halachic question marks? One is the Rambam. Since when is a guy Ne'eman an Isra Heter? A guy is not kosher l'idus. The other question is, that's what the Shach deals with, the other question is, even Rashi and the Rashla. What's the problem with Rashi? The first is that a guy is pasul le'edus. What's the problem with Rashi and the Rashba? What's the rule of Mesiach V'tumah, anyone? What does the Gemara say about Mesiach V'tumah? A guy to Mesiach V'tumah is Ne'eman be'edus isha, correct. A guy to Mesiach V'tumah is Ne'eman to Matron Aguna. But the Gemara says, except for Eidos Isha, a guy Mesiach V'tumah is only Ne'eman under Rabbanans, not under Raisis. Only under Rabbanans. Problem is that a Mesiach V'tumah is Ne'eman only on an Issa D'Rabbanan. So how do Rashi and the Rashba say, and the Mechaber say that a Mesiach V'tumah is Ne'eman? Didn't we just read that the Mechaber said Mesiach V'tumah, right? He has to not know that you rely on him for Isser. So this is the dion of the Taz and the Shach, etc. Here is a machlokas between the Taz and the Shach, how to, and many other people, and the how to defend Rashi. So the how do we defend Rashi? So, well, how would you defend Rashi? First, let's... Question, Mesiach V'tumah is only Ne'eman Drabbanans. So how can he be Ne'eman here, where it's traced to Raisa, Chilav to Raisa? According to?
The Shach.
If you say that...
According to Rashi.
According to Rashi, exactly! So there... I'll mention three answers here. Three answers here is... One is the Rivash. The Rivash says that... Savar... Tam Ke'ikr... Midrabbanan. Right, that's a perfectly fine answer. Meaning, why did Rashi say Mesiach V'tumah is Ne'eman? Because the old Tom Kicker is Drabanan. Right, no problem. Why did the Rush say Mesiach V'tumah is Ne'eman? Because he also required Umalamari and Nasi, so he's not just relying on Mesiach V'tumah. Why did the Rush say Mesiach V'tumah is Ne'eman? Because he also held Me'ikar Adin and Tom Kicker is Drabanan, even though he was Machir, a little bit Staraisa, but he really was so Mechamandam Drabanan. So what the Rivash basically says is that Rashi holds Tom Kicker's Drabanan, that's what you believe Rashi says Mitumah. That's true. The Rashba, although he looks like he passed in Doraisa, really thought it maybe was Drabanan, Ikradin, and that's how he was Mekel. And the Mechaber, it's stuck. He passed in the first Tom Kicker's Doraisa and Sefez. Okay, a little tricky. Works for Rashi, Dochuk in the Rashba, impossible in the Mechaber. A little tricky. Let's go to the Taz. So that's not going to work with Halacha. The Taz says a tremendous chiddush. The Taz says, going Mesiach V'tumah is only Ne'eman Drabanans, is talking about Mamanos. Hold on. Did I just mix up the Truma Sedesh and the Rivash? Okay, I have to take this back. I apologize. I just mixed up the Truma Sedesh and the Rivash. We're going to need some more room for this. How do you answer this question? So, first we have the, I apologize, the Trumas Hadeshen. I apologize. The Trumas Hadeshen said that Rashi, the Rashba Savri, Tom Kicker. Midrabanan. Okay. And that's why they rely on Mesiel Levitumo. It's Dachuk and the Rashba. The Mechaber is still impossible, because he holds Tom Kicker's Darabanan, don't write any lines of Mesiel Levitumo. But maybe. The Rivash said that when do we only rely on him for Darabanan, Jason? If it's. If it's, didn't you just say that? Who just said it? It's Chazik Yisura. What? Okay, who just said that? All right, that's all. Oh, sorry. It's Chazik Yisura. He says, depends on this Cheskas Yisura or not. He says, Bid is Chazik Yisura is Naman only in a Drabaman. Aval im lo is chazik isura. Neman af the isur d'oraisa. Says no. The rule of the Gemara is only by is chazik isura. By is chazik isura, we don't believe him by d'oraisas. But over here, there's no cheskas isura, right? Meaning you have mutter vegetable soup. We have no idea whether it became treif or not. Adrav, it's becheskas heter. And that's why. That's why we believe him even for Doraisas. The Shach points out that La Halacha, we don't pass in that way, it doesn't match our Halachas. The Taz says something else that doesn't work with Halacha. Says the Taz. Taz says, it depends what area of Halacha we're talking about. Some areas of Halacha, like Mamonis and Arayas, need how many Edom? Two. Other areas like Isser v'Heter need
one.
It says, you know when the Gemara talked about Mesiach v'Tumo? By Arias, like that a woman's husband died and she could remarry. By Mamonos, like if he testified, like where this money came from. He says, He says, a goy Mesiach v'Tumo, Naman, like two Aden. Only in Drabans. Aval Neman Ke'ed Echad, even in Doraisa. He says, the Gemara was talking about weird things that need two Edom, like Mamonis and Arayos, Dabar Sheba Erva and Dabar Sheba Mamon. Then we only believe in Goy Nisiach to be Tumo in Drabanans. Only in money Drabanan, that was the case for Gemara. If you have property that's only someone's be Drabanan, then we believe in Goy Nisiach to be Tumo. Or if you have Shilas Marayas that are under Rabbanan, we believe in God Yisrael to be Tumo. But in Is Yisurim, which only need one aid, then you believe in God Yisrael to be Tumo even for Doraisas. He admits this is against the Psak Halacha all over Shulchan Aruch. Basically, all three of these opinions are against the Psak Halacha of Shulchan Aruch. But that's his theory. The Shach gives the best answer. The Shach gives the best answer. And the Gra agrees with him. The Shach and the Gra give the best answer. The Shach and the Gra give the most obvious answer. They say, you know why Goyim Yisrael to be Tumos Nelon here even for Doraisas? Not because Tom Kaker is Rabbanan, because the Mechaber holds Doraisa. Not because the Dochesk is Isser. Because that doesn't work in the In the Shulchan Aruch, because of a different case they quoted the Kanim of Goyim, not because here you all, it's only Isurin that need one aid, because the rest of the Shulchan Aruch, even Isurin that need one aid, we don't believe a Goyim Yisrael Tumah Doraisas. Since there's an obvious difference between the Goyim Eidos here and every other place in Shas, what's the obvious difference between the Goy says the woman's husband was dead, the Goy says that this the bees came from like this place and this is who they belong to. The guy says that this animal is kosher, etc. As opposed to here where the guy says you can't taste the lard. What's the difference?
This isn't Aegis. It's just saying the reality that's right in front of you that anyone could tell. He's just the only person who's left.
Not just anyone could tell, but say better.
Anyone would tell at that moment.
Even better, anyone will tell. You are sounding a little more like some line in the Taz. The difference is obvious. If a guy testifies about anything else and is lying, Will we find out he's lying? If someone testifies about most things, who this money belongs to, whether Reuben lent Shimon money or not, whether someone's husband died or not, whether this animal is 8 days old or not, whether this animal is a b'chor or not, will we find out whether or not he told the truth? The answer is maybe, right? Meaning every time someone says that someone lies, they might get caught, right? That's Eden Zomim. You never know, someone might get caught. After all, he says the woman's husband dies, and then he shows up, right? He might get caught. Every time someone lies, they know they might get caught. But what's the difference in this case? If I ask you what time it is, and it's 3 o'clock, and you tell me 4 o'clock, you might get caught? You're for sure going to get caught. Everyone has a watch. You'll tell me it's 4 o'clock. I'll show up someplace, and they'll say, why are you here so early? I'll say, well, isn't it 4 o'clock? They'll say, no, it's 3 o'clock. Look at anyone's watch. And I'll know you lied to me. There are some things, and that's just you might get caught. You will certainly get caught because the information is right there. Let's go back to our example. I asked the guy, does this taste like lard? He says no. If he says no, what am I going to do?
Taste it.
I mean, the truth is, he'll be sealed with tumo either way. Other people are going to eat it, right?
He says yes.
When other, as far as he knows, if he says yes, other people also might eat it, right? He's misealed with
tumo. He doesn't know.
Right? When, he says, it's right here, everyone's going to eat it. If he lied, everyone will know he lied. Not they might discover he lied. They will certainly discover he lied. They will certainly discover he lied. And maybe that's pshat. Goyim Yisrael v'tumo is normally not Neman in Daraisis. But over here he is extra Nemanus. Because they're for sure going to notice that he lied. Who would ever answer a question falsely if they're for sure going to find out that he lied for no reason? So says the Shach Negruch, this is a Milsa Da'avida Le'egluye. It's something that's going to be discovered. Bivadai. I added that to the Shach, just to make it clear. It's not like other testimony that eventually someone might find out, you know, there's a Rambam who says, I testify when his husband died, eventually, probably down the line, will eventually find out what happened to the husband. No, here, it's a pot of soup. Someone's going to eat that soup and they'll say, why did that guy lie to us? Add the Shach, this svar is so strong, why would anyone lie when they're for sure going to be found out in 5 minutes? That, he says, this also explains the Rambam. Why did the Rambam say the guy is Neman without any Masil Fumitumah, without any reason? The answer is, because if he's for sure he found out soon that the Rambam held his Nevim even if he's not Masil Fumitumo. The Rambam held that the fact of Milsa Vila Gluye is enough alone to give Nemanus. While Rashi held, or not Rashi, but the Mechaber and the Rashba held, that Mesiach Lefitumo plus Avid Lugluy was enough to give them honest. Pashas, everyone agrees with the Shach. It's the only answer that really works in the Mechaber, and it's the only answer that answers the Rambam. You don't have to have the same answer for the Rambam and for Rashi, but it makes a lot of sense. It really is Milsa Avid Lugluy.
Wouldn't this answer not work in Pugum cases? Because if you're going to ask him, does this taste off to you? If he says yes, you're not going to give it to anybody else, meaning... Does the milk smell bad? You're not going to, you know, go ask another person.
Correct. But the simple pshat is that here, just at the end of Ishin Nosen Hamafgam, pugum here doesn't mean completely inedible. Pugum means that it doesn't taste so good anymore. So then you will eat it.
Mm-hmm. Do you mind repeating what the Taz says?
Yes. What the Taz says is there are things that need edus of two edim and things that just need one aid. I know, I'm saying this in my Lashon, not his. If you want me to read his Lashon, I will, in his Lashon, he says that, Meidit by Eidos Davga. When do we distinguish between Doraisa and Rabbanan and only things that need Eidos of two Eidim? But, by Yisurim, where Eid Echad is Naaman and Hochacha is good enough, by Yisurim, we don't need two Eidim, we just need any proof like Eid Echad, then God Yisrael Vitumo is good enough. So he says, basically, God Yisrael Vitumo counts as one Eid to be Matur Yisurim. Even in Doraisas. But you can only count like two Eidim for Eidos Mamish in Drabanas.
The Shibbo will count like two Eidim for Drabanas?
Yes. But even for Doraisas, it will count like one Eid. Yeah, that's putting in different words. That's what he says. Okay, so Lachal Maisa Pashas, the Shach is right. Let's just see how we paskin.
One second. How does this
lens
answer fit
well
with the Rambam?
Because the Rambam says that every guy is believed, even that we see a Fitumbo. Why? The round of hope, most of the blue is so strong that it works even without me, CLP Tumo. So basically, the Ramahol's Milstavigila Gluye is enough Nemanis by itself. And the Mechaber and the Rashba hold that it's enough Nemanis together with Mesiach Lefitumo. Now, how do we paskin among these five opinions? How do we paskin among these five opinions? Which of these five opinions does the Shach say? Does the Mechaber say? Well, basically, five opinions, right? A guy's Neman only if he's a Kfela, only if he's Mesiach Lefitumo. Either if he's a Kfela Mesiach Lefitumo, only if he's both Kfela Mesiach Lefitumo, or a guy's Neman Stam. What does the Mechaber say? Mechaber says Mesiach Lefitumo. Pshat of the Mechaber is like the Rashi. This is what the Mechaber sounds like. Sounds like Rashi, but the Shach says in Sifkatan, Beis at the beginning, quoting the Beis Yosef, say that no, he really means like the Rashba. He was just giving one example. He really means either way is okay. So, you know, like in this line, the parentheses and the brackets, the Mechaber sounds like he passed like Rashi, Dabu Seal Vitumo, no such thing as Umun Lomari Nase, but the Shach says if you look at the Beis Yosef, you'll see that's not true. He's really just giving a more common example, but really, it's like the Rashba that either way is okay. So really, for Sfarad and Lamaisa, either way should be okay. How about the... So that's for Sfarad and Pashtus is that either way is okay, like the Rashba. How about the Ramah?
No.
So the Ramah, we'll see later on at the end of this Sif, says that nowadays we're not nohag to trust the guy at all, so for the Ramah, this is irrelevant. I mean, he still has to hold one of these five pshatim is true in the Gemara. But it's irrelevant... Because nowadays Ashkenazim don't ask a guy anyway, as we see at the end of the Sif. He says, "V'ein nagin achshav lismucha goyim sharen kol shishim." Nowadays we just use shishim and we don't listen to a guy at all.
Why don't Ashkenazim believe in professional writing?
I will get to that. Okay. You don't. You see in the Beis Yosef. But the Shach assumes that he really meant what he said in the Beis Yosef. Says the Shach, the Beis Yosef Pasak, that I go to love Kfeilo Samchina and love Mesiach Vitumo Davka, but I Kfeilo Samchina, Filo Ain't Mesiach Vitumo. Either way. Deloma Shachar, etc. Vinisvar Lach, Dekan Mayer, the Goisha Ain't Kfeilo. Here, he's telling a non Kfeilo has to be Mesiach Vitumo. Okay, so. Well, here, okay, rule, okay, good, Mamaisa, let's say this is Pshat of the Mechaber, and this is the Mechaber according to the Shach. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Pshat of the Mechaber sounds like Dafki Mesiach Vitumo. The Shach says no, the Mechaber means he's not a Kfeila Mesiach Vitumo. But if he is a Kfeila, then he's Neman, even without Mesiach Vitumo. Okay, pick whichever way you you want. For Ashkenazim, most of us in this room, doesn't matter anyway, because we don't listen to a guy but Klal for reasons that we will explain when we get there. Now.
So for anybody
who can Mesiach Vitumo, according to Yeah, that's for sure. According to all Pshat the Mechaber, any guy Mesiach Vitumo is good enough.
And if it was Kfeila, then you
Then, according to the Shach, he says the Mechaber, if it was Kfeila, wouldn't need Mesiach Vitumo. Not the Shach for Ashkenazim, the Shach for Sfarim. For Ashkenazim, he admits Ashkenazim don't ask Shilas to Goyim anymore nowadays. I don't know, I guess in the old days, Sfarim dealt with Goyim better than the Ashkenazim. I don't know, that's the legend, at least. Now, let's continue in the Mechaber. Continuing in the Mechaber, says the Mechaber, V'im ein sham goy l'tomo, what if there's no goy available? Misharim b'shishim, that's what's said in the Gemara, right? If there's no goy, then you just measure with 60. V'cheinimu min b'mino, or if it's min b'mino, if it's the same thing, so taste test won't help, tomato sauce, wine, orange juice and orange juice, meat and meat, it's not going to help, right? A piece of treif meat falls into my kosher meat, and all the juice of the treif meat go into my kosher meat. So it's not going to help. It tastes like meat. Came into the Lekolikwa Taima, since you can't tell by the taste. Misharim b'shishim, you use shishim. Okay, where does this shishim come from? where does this idea of shisha come from? So here we have a big machlokas. Rishonim. Where does shisha come from? Why shisha? I mean, here's a piece of shisha. What? Okay. Good question. Okay, same thing. Why not just say bottle barov? Why do you need shishim? Where does shishim come from? So here we have three different theories, or two different theories about where shishim comes from. The Gemara says in Chulin Daf. Sadiches. Amr Rishuvim Leim Shemar Kabar Kol Shurin Shemar Torah B'Shishim. No, Bar Vasi says Rishuvim Leim Shemar Kabar Kol Shurin Shemar Torah B'Meyah. Okay, it's not close whether 60 or 100. We obviously pass in 60. Ushnehem Lolem Du Elmi Zerua B'Shela. They both learned it from the Zerua B'Shela. Anyone remember the Zerua B'Shela? What? By Nazir, right? What happens to the Zerua B'Shela? Anyone? No one? Okay. Zerua B'Shela? Okay. I have a recommendation. Book recommendation for everyone. It's called the Chumash. Kedai B'Nazir. Right? So, it says by Nazir that the Nazir has to bring, when he finishes his Nazirus, he has to bring three Kerbanos, one of which is Ayel L'Shlamin. He has to bring an Ayel for Shalom Shlamin. That's called Shami Nazir. Right? That's in... He's a makoma ha toda v'el nazir kadosh and kalim are more chomer toda and al nazir, two kinds of shlamim. They're more chomer than regular shlamim because they come with bread and because they're only eaten for one day instead of two. Fine. What does he do with the shlamim? The shlamim is the most important karban. I mean, right, that's where you're getting philosophical, but it looks like the most important karban because when the nazir when the nazir cuts his hair, what does he do with it? Burns out the fire that's under the shlamim. And this special rule about the shlamim that's not true of all other shlamims, right? V'lakacha kohen, sazroa habashela min ha'ayil, v'chuli v'chuli. He takes the zroa habashela from the ayil, and he does a tenufa, and he waves it, and goes to the kohen. The zroa habashela from this ayil goes to the kohen. That's the special rule of Nazir. What's interesting about this rule of zroa habashela? What's interesting about this rule of zroa habashela is that when do you give the kohen the zroah? Obviously, after you cook it. First you cook the ayil, then you give the kohen the zroah. What's the problem? The zroah is only mutter for kohanim. The rest of the ayil is mutter for Yisraelim. So tell me what the problem is. The time of the zroah goes into the ayil, so how can Yisrael eat the ayil? Right? So the answer is, because the zroah is butel to the ayil. That's what they say. That the zroah b'shela, the zroah is bottle to the aisle. So here we learn the rules of bittel. The zroah is bottle to the aisle. Okay. Now I'm going to skip the all the details. What percentage of the aisle is a zroah? So that's the machlokas in the Gemara here. We'll have to remember this machlokas from Tzadik Tes. It says it depends how you count. What part of the animal might you not count? Like, what part of each limb might you not count? The bones. Is a zroah more bony than average or less bony than average? More, for sure. The zroah has more percent bone than anything else, right? So if you count bones, the zroah is a 60th of the aisle. If you don't count bones, you only count flesh, it's 100th of the aisle. And that's where they get the sheet of bronze. The one who doesn't count bones, and the flesh is 100th of the aisle, shows bittel b'meya. We do count bones. So therefore we say the zroah is a 60th of the ayil, and therefore we learn bittel b'shishim. So Rashi seems to take this more seriously all over Perek Din Anoshe. Rashi says, you know why we need bittel b'shishim? We need bittel b'shishim, because there it's a custom from zroah b'tela. So where do you get bittel b'shishim? Rashi. Now, you have to go through the Rashis and all over the sugyas in the 7th and 8th Perek and see how it works out. There's some tricky ones, but in general, Rashi seems to have the Shita, and we'll see how he's consistent with it in a few places. Rashi says, Drasha from the Zroa B'Sheila. He really makes it sound like it's a Dinda Oraisa, even though the Poskim don't pick up on this base. Yosef and Poskim don't pick up on this. Drasha from Zroa B'Sheila. Tosto says, let's look at the Rama. Tosto says, no way. Tosto says that's only an asmachta bialma zura b'sheva. Pirish b'kuntras. The afki lo yav time by shishim. Rashi says, even if you can't taste it, you still need bittul b'shishim. Because drasha from the pasuk of bittul b'shishim. Tosto says ridiculous. Ein nira. Masha he writing the kamen afar shakam be'ezus Hashem yisbarach. Where he Tosto says in a few places zura b'sheva is just an asmachta. You know what shishim really is according to Tosfos? Anyone? Exactly. Tosfos and other Rishonim say, no, it's just an experiment that Chazal did. They sat down, they took all the trade foods and all the kosher foods, and they mixed them all together, and they figured out what you could taste, what you couldn't. Because they said to themselves, well, what if there's no guy around? How are we going to figure out if you can taste it or not? They say, like, it's not reasonable. Like, let's say a tiny bit of lard falls into my vegetable soup and there's no goyim around. So I say, it's usher, it might have a taste. Why don't we try to develop, like, some measurements to know whether there's a taste or not? And then they said, well, what if it's min bimino? So if it theoretically could have a taste, then we would usher it. So how do we know if it theoretically have a taste? Let's do some experiments. They did their experiments, and what did they come up with? They came up with the fact that trace foods, if they're less than a 60th, you can't taste them. If they're more than a 60th, then sometimes you can taste them, sometimes you can't. It all depends on the circumstances. That was the rule of thumb they came up with. If it's a 50th, a 40th, then it's going to depend on exactly which trace food exactly, which kosher food exactly, how do you cook it, this, that, the other thing. But if it's less than a 60th, they ran all the experiments and said you can never taste it. They tried all the different kinds of trace foods and all the different kinds of kosher foods, and determine that less than a 60th you can never taste. So it's not that they figure out that if it's more than a 60th you can taste it. If it's more than a 60th, then you don't know. But if it's less than a 60th, you can't taste it. So it's a rule of thumb. It's a mitzias, right? It is a... it's just a rule of thumb that anything less than a 60th can't be tasted. Okay, so it's just a rule of thumb for Tom. It's not a separate rule like Rashi says. Rashi says, even if you can't taste it, there's a rule of Shisha. Ellie?
It's okay.
Okay. The Ramban seems similar to Rashi. Says the Ramban in Macholos Asuras Perek Tesvav. That anytime you can't taste something, then it's much of an Torah. He holds Tom Kicker's only Rabbana according to the mainstream approach. It says midivrei sofrim hakol asar sheyova davar asar meotze meuto. Midivrei sofrim, everything's asar until it's nevad meotze meuto. Midrabbana, every Torah is asar unless it disappears because it's so small. Lo yeh davar chashiv, and it's not chashiv. How much do you need of a tarovitz or something really considered very small and lost? Chacham said sometimes 60, sometimes 100, sometimes 200. Nim tzitzlami dekoli surin shiva Torah shiur b'shishim obameya obmasayim. Right, and how do you know which is? No, Adrava. According to the Rambam, Shishim doesn't have to do with the taste. That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Arlen Klai Kerem are 200. Truma is 100. regular trade fruits are 60. For the Rambam, this seems to just be a gzeira drabbanan of bittel be'otza mi'uto and have nothing to do with taste. Kach nira from the Rambam. The Rambam would be more like Rashi.
But Rashi is never right, so no.
Correct. Rashi says a gzeira drabbanan shel otzem mi'uto. Otzem mi'uto, that has to be exceedingly small. Exceedingly small is less than a 60th. By the way, I think we might have mentioned this once. When it came to kal, where do you see a nafkumina of the fact that the Rambam thinks that 60 is just a drabbanan measurement of smallness and not an estimate of taste? Why does kal only need 59?
As a
that's the Rashba, because he's interested in taste. If you're the Tosfos and most Rishonim, why would kal only need 59? You'd say, because it's you're measuring taste, the kal is both meat and milk, so it counts for both tastes. The Rambam says, because kal is drabbanan. Drabbanan is only need 59, because we're makel by drabbanans. Nothing to do with taste, just a symbolic number. A symbolic number is sometimes more makel. The Gemara says, eggs, you need 61-to-1 ratio. Why do eggs need 61-to-1? So, we'll get to that soon in Shulchan Aruch. Well, you don't even have to put in, but the, according to Tosfos, it's a matter of taste. They say, you know why? Because really, sometimes 61 eggs are the size of 60 eggs. Because, like, maybe they're a little small. But you really need 60. The Rambam says, since an egg is a whole creature, they were extra machmir to make it 61. I mean, for the Rambam, 60 is a symbolic number. You can make it 59 sometimes, you can make it 61 sometimes, it has nothing to do with taste. For most Rishonim, it has to do with taste. So for Rashi, it seems to be Doraisa, the Rambam seems to be Rabbanan. 60 is just a symbolic number, either al-pi gzeiras hakasa or al-pi gzeiras hasofrim. For Tosfos, it is a measure of taste, so here it is just a just a number. Here it is a measure of taste. That is the basic hakira. The basic hakira is shishim, just a number, either a number darshan from the Torah, or the Rambam seems to assume that it's only divrei sofrim, that it's a number darshan basmachta by the sofrim. Or for Tosfos, no, it's really something they came up with experiments. Then they found the makor basmachta in the Torah of El Nazar. So that's two different perspectives on shishim. Okay, this won't come up a lot other than the 59 and 61, which will be later this simon, but it's good to know. Now, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I promise. Now, let's just figure out one more thing. Yeah. Say that again. Correct, meaning for the Rambam, if there's no goy around, what gives you the right to be makel with their shishim? Maybe there's taste? The answer, Pashto says, because taste is drabbanan anyway, so suffik v'kula. I agree. And Rashi, same thing. Okay, now, there's one more big machlokes Rishonim that's mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Beis Yosef here, that we have to go through, which is, what do we mean by, remember what we said. What did we say there? We said that bikfela, min mish'eno mino, bikfela. Right? What do we mean by, min mish'eno mino de isura, bikfela? How did that tie into the idea of shishim? Rashi has a radical shita that I just read to you that is not really mentioned much by the Beis Yosef, says Rashi. Even if there's no tam, you still need shishim. The corollary of that, even if it's less than a 60th, there still needs to be no tam. What is Rashi? What does Rashi say here? Rashi in Daf Tzadik Ches sounds like it's only mutter if Fela says there's no time and it's less than a 60th. Rashi says, again, this is not the way Rashi is quoted by the Poskim. I admit, is not the way Rashi quoted by the poskim. Rashi, Daf Tzadik Ches Min Aleph, and ignored by the poskim, says that, what does it mean? If you don't have a kfeila, then you could say it's much if it's less than a 60th. But if you have a kfeila, and the kfeila can taste it, has to be less than a 60th, and also has to have no taste. Why? You have to make sure it has no taste, because otherwise there'll be a problem, tam ke ikar midrabanan. You have to make sure it's less than a 60th, otherwise there's a problem of el mozer midoraisa. So Rashi's very macher. It's only much if it's less than a 60th, and it passes the taste test. Rava says, even though it's less than a 60th, you still have to get a good taste it. But it's enough to be less than a 60th. And if there's no guy around, it's enough to be less than a 60th. Oh, what if it have taste? It's enough to grow up on Lukula. That's Pashup Shad and Rashi. This is very controversial, this Rashi. You really have to be eyeing for a week to get Shad in the Rashi. But this is what Rashi says, at least in one place. I'm not claiming it's a mainstream. That is basically abandoned by almost all the Akronim, except for one special surprise one. The Tosos and the Rush, or it's quoted as the Re in the Beis Yosef, they say no. What do you think Tosos and the Rush should say? What would you say if you were Tosos and the Rush? Let's say you had this lard in the vegetable soup and there was a guy around. So if the guy tastes it and says there's no taste, is that good enough?
Yeah,
because why do you need a rule of thumb? What if it was less than a 60th? Do you have to go to the guy? Well, no, because if you have a rule of thumb, there's no taste, it's fine. Says Tosfos in the Rush, it's mutter if Kfeila says there's no time, or if it's less than a 60th. Why? This is Lishitasam. Rashi says, time is time, 60th is a drusha from Nazir. So, even if there's no taste, that takes away time to ikker, but it might be also because of Nazir, so it has to be less than a 60th. Even if less than 1/60th, there's no iser because of Nazir, but there might be a time, so you have to have a taste test. Tosa says, no, the guy and the 60th are trying to accomplish the same thing. You're just measuring whether there's tests, whether there's taste or not. So if you have two ways to measure, measure it one way and it'll be mutter. If the guy tasted and said it's okay, it's mutter. If it's less than a 60th, it's mutter. All you need to do is to be confident, to be reasonably confident you can't taste the treif. Either of these are ways to be reasonably confident you can't taste the treif. Says the Ramban. Davka Kfeila. He says, don't read like Rashi and Tosos. I mean, he wasn't responding to Rashi and Tosos. Rashi says, Amar Rabbanu b'kfeila, and you also need to make sure it's less than a 60th? And sometimes they said just less than a 60th. Tosos says, Amar Rabbanu b'kfeila, or you could check with less than a 60th? Sometimes just 60th. Rashi says, no, b'kfeila. Kfeila is kfeila. Kfeila means use a kfeila. Whoever said 60th. 60th is only if there's no kfeila available. Why? This makes sense. The Rambam also the Shitase, right? What's the Svara? Davka b'kfeila. If you have a kfeila, you're not allowed to think about shishim. If you have a kfeila, shishim is irrelevant. If you have a kfeila, shishim is irrelevant. If you have a kfeila, just check for taste. Because remember, the Rambam doesn't seem to be convinced that a 60th is a rule of thumb for taste. If, there's no way to know if it has taste or not, then they made a new rule of thumb of shisha. Then they made a new rule of shisha. But check for taste. The Machaber, they also bring down another opinion, which the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran. The Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran are very complicated. They say that, it depends. There's two different kinds of tarubis. One is if lard melted into my children. Let's take two different series. Lard melted into my vegetable soup. Or a piece of ham fell in my vegetable soup, cooked for an hour, and then I removed it. In which of those ways is it more reasonable and easier to measure whether it's more or less than a 60th? When the lard melted in, or when the ham cooked in and then I removed it? The lard, because I know how much lard is there and how much soup is there. In the ham, do I know how much juice came out of the ham? No, I don't know how much juice came out of the ham. Meaning, How do I know how much juice came out of the ham? Right? So what do they say? They say, if the Isser melted into the Heter, then just check for Shishim and don't ask a guy. Why? They say, you know what? You want to know if it tastes treif or not? If the Isser melted into your Heter, just check if it's more or less than a 60th. Don't start relying on Goyim. We don't like relying on Goyim. Just check if it's more or less than a 60th. But here's the problem. But if the Isser cooked in the Heter and was removed, then what's the problem? Let's think about this for a second. Let's say I have a 100-ounce soup and a 2-ounce ham was cooked in it. How much ham juice went into the soup? We have no way of knowing, right? Maximum 2 ounces, but they'll say that's 50. That's a problem. So then, go ask a goy to taste it. Then go ask a goy to taste it. Because probably only 1/2 ounce of ham juice went into your soup. So it wouldn't be fair to be so machmir on you. Basically what they're saying is that if the lard melted into your soup, if it's more than a 60th, we'll treif it up. Don't rely on a guy, treif it up. After all, we're not being so unfair. It is more than a 60th of lard. But if ham fell in your soup, let's say 2 ounce ham fell in a 100-ounce soup, it wouldn't be fair to tell you, well, if it's more than a 60th, it's usser. Because how do you know how much juice came out of the ham? You know, maybe most of the juice stayed in the ham. Right? I mean, what do you think? The ham is now cardboard and all the taste went into your soup? No. For some, a lot of the taste stayed in the ham. And therefore, since there's no fair way of measuring the 60th, therefore we're may only let you ask a guy. Then you can ask a fela, because it would be too machmir to insist on checking for 60.
When you say that the law of melting it, isn't that a question of an eager of Easter? In the second case, where you put the hand in the pot, it's just a time of Easter?
That's a machlokas between. That's, first of all, that's a machlokas in the Beis Yosef in the Ran that I've tried to avoid. That this is twice you tried to force me into explaining and I'm trying to avoid it. But it doesn't matter. It's clear in the Gemara that at this point it doesn't matter if it's just the Tom or if the thing melted in. Either way, these Rava's rules apply. Rava's rules were not said about Tom Keiker. They were said about Tarovas. Rava wasn't talking about Tom Keiker. He was talking about all Tarovas. And they're both usher if you can taste them. And they're both mutter if you can't taste them. I'll come back to it. If you'll give me, grant me archa, or you'll look in the Beis Yosef, what he says about the Ram, I'll come back to it. Okay, these are the four main pshatim in the Gemara. Let's review the four pshatim in the Gemara. Rashi says, if there's a goy, first the goy has to say it's clean, and it has to be less than a 60th, then you can eat it. Tos says, pick whatever's more convenient. If you want to, just see if it's less than a 60th is mutter, or ask the guy. Basically, according to Tosafot, what would you do? If it's less than a 60th, it would be mutter. If it's more than a 60th, we'll ask the guy. According to the Rambam, no, if there's a guy, ask the guy. Don't get it. 60 is only when you don't know what it tastes like. It's only a zero drabbanim when you don't know what it tastes like. If you can know what it tastes like, ask the guy. And the Rambam, Rashi, and Rashi have the opposite perspective of the Rambam. They say, no, goyim are only b'di'evit. If you can measure it's more or less than a 60th, use the rule of thumb. B'di'evit, if it's hard to measure whether it's more or less than a 60th, because you don't know how much juice came out, and it would be too machmir to tell you measure 60 against the whole ham, then you could use a guy. There is a fifth shita, which the Ramah. Let's see how the Mechaber holds. Says the Mechaber, V'im ein sham goy l'tomo m'sharim b'shishim, v'cheinu min b'mino, kevin d'lekel mikam atayim m'sharim b'shishim. Which of these four opinions does the Mechaber sound like? What does he say? If you have a guy, ask the guy to taste it. If you don't have a guy, or if it's Mimbabino, measure with Shishim.
Rambam.
I mean, he's just quoting the Gemara. But, you know, when someone just quotes the Gemara, when the Gemara says it, there's different interpretations. If a Shulchan Aruch quotes a Gemara, he should be clear. It sounds like the Rambam, that is what the Shach says. The Gra is not so convinced. He says, I don't know, maybe the Mechaber's Lav Davka, and he doesn't have to be holding like the Rambam. But the Shach says, no, the Mechaber holds like the Rambam. Therefore, the Shach says the Mechaber holds like the Rambam. Says the Shach, Mashva Datsa Mechaber, Shiesham Goy Letomo, Lo Sharinan, Ella Al Yidei Goy. No, if there's a Goy, we only use the Goy. That does not match contemporary Sephardi practice. Nowadays, Sephardim have Goyim around all the time. And they don't ask the guy. I don't know if they theoretically could follow the Mechaber. L'maisa, all Sfarim now, they don't go around asking Goyim whenever they have a Shaila Tarubis.
Ramah definitely didn't understand the Mechaber because the Ramah would make any sense. The Ramah says that in some that's not an addition to the Mechaber. The Mechaber has to mean that you can mean it, otherwise you can't understand it.
Okay, so hold on. Let's take it back. According to, okay, give me a second. Or a few days. What day of the week is it now? Tuesday? Okay, so like 5. The Shach says the Mechaber, first of all, he's quoting the Lashon of the Rambam here, and he sounds like the Rambam. He says, no, if you have a guy, use the guy. Shisha was only if there's no guy, which makes sense for the Rambam. If Shisha was not a rule of thumb for telling you how it tastes, it's just Xerid Rabban, and that's Xerid Rabban, to the evidence, if there's no guy, or if it tastes the same, then a guy won't help. You have to ask a guy. According to this, if Isaac had a Tarovish Shaila in his house, and, you know, he had a, I don't know, he stirred his chicken soup with a milchik ben yomo spoon, which was less than a 60th. So he said, okay, the milk is batel shishim. Or a little milk spilled into his cholent, and it was less than a 60th. Or accidentally, like, there was some tray food, although that's not so common, people have tray food in their house, and it's spilled into a soup, and it was less than a 60th. He would not be able to eat it. Who cares if that's less than a 60th? 60th is when there's no guy. If there's a guy around, then you have to ask the guy. So if there's a guy around, you would not be able to be makel based on 60. That does not seem to be contemporary Sephardi practice. In Brooklyn, everyone has a guy working in their house. And everyone, they call the rabbi says less than a 60th mutter. He doesn't say give it to the guy to taste. So probably because of the gra, says the gra in Sivkatan, I apologize, which Sivkatan would this be? Someone help me out here. Sivkatan. One second. Hopefully I wrote this down. Says the Gra.
Design?
In Sivkatan, well, that seems to be on the Ramah. Let's see. Yes, thank you. The end of Zayin. V'dimer Shulchan Aruch ein behen hechreya. Du k'dimer Gemara delo kishach. No, he's just quoting the Gemara. If the Gemara is ambiguous, the Mechaber is ambiguous. Don't be medayik like the Shach. Says the Gra ein behen hechreya. No, ein behen hechreya. Therefore, since the Gra says ein behen hechreya, l'fi Shach neged Gra, it seems to be the modern day Sephardi minhag is, like the Gra against the Shach, that the Mechaber did not mean to pass like the Rambam. If the Gemara is ambiguous, the Mechaber is ambiguous, ein behem echreya. The Gra didn't say how the Mechaber does hold, but it seems to be the Sephardim nowadays are noheg like the, I guess either Tosos or the, Pashtos, either Tosos or the Ramban. Right, I guess we don't necessarily circle anything. But the Maisa, the Sephardim nowadays are not knowing like the Shach. They do not assume the Rambam, that the Mechaber held like the Rambam, because then they would not be allowed to measure if it was more or less than a 60th. They would only be allowed to ask the Goyim. They live someplace with the Goyim. Okay, maybe in Gross it's hard to find Goyim. But in Brooklyn, there's lots of Goyim. So in Brooklyn, you have to ask a Goyim. That's not what Sephardim did. That's not what Aleppo. whatever, we asked a guy every time he had a shayla? No, we measured if it was less than a 60th, it was mutter. So it seems to be that the Sfardim nowadays agree with the Gra, there's no hechreah from the Rambam, and therefore there's no hechreah from the Mechaber, and therefore since most Rishonim disagreed with the Rambam, we hold like Tosos and the Rabban and the Rashba, etc., that you can always rely on a 60th and you don't have to go to a guy. Because one thing they both agree is that it's always fine if it's less than a 60th. Bane 2, Bane 4 agree, if it's less than a 60th, it's always fine. The difference in Tosos and the Ramban is, if it's more than a 60th, can you always ask a guy, or only if you remove the issue you can ask a guy? So Lamaisa, the modern day Sfardim hold like either Tosos or the Ramban, Minhag of the Sfardim, against the Shach. Okay, we'll have to stop now. Of course, we notice what the Ramban say. The Ramban says, the Rama says, we don't use a guy at all. What pshat in the Gemara in that? That's no pshat in the Gemara. That's why he says, ain't no again, achshav lishmach a guy. Seems to be no pshat in the Gemara. The minig Ashkenaz, he quotes from the Ugger, is that we don't use a guy at all. Ashkenazim don't use a guy at all. Why Ashkenazim don't use a guy at all? We'll have to come back to Amir Tz Hashem next time.